Zurich, Men's League Switzerland, U.S. program, Austin Matthews.
To the Billy Box, Nylander gets an extra shift. William Nylander shoots, he scores! Coach played a hunch, and the kid has his first National Hockey League goal.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Toronto Maple Leafs Simply Tire Podcast. As always, it's Crystal Kranz here with Jake Middleton and David Morisuti. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about trade rumors, more specifically Kevin Shattenkirk, the salary cap. Should the Leafs go all in? When's their window to compete? All those fun, enjoyable armchair GM questions. I know we're trying to watch another Raptors game too right now, so Jake is extra feisty. So guys, how you doing?
I'm pretty good.
Are you sure, Jake?
You're dropping a few F-bombs before we start here.
Oh. No, it's okay. It's just a pretty sad state of affairs, this Raptors offense, but whatever. we will go on.
Sad state of affairs for the offense. They got close to, what, how many points do they have right now?
100.
So, okay, yeah, it's a really sad state of affairs, I guess, when a team gets 100 points.
They got Lowry and Thomas.
I'm over it.
All right, let's jump into, we're not going to talk about last night's loss. Well, it's 6-3, five-goal first period, absolutely got thrashed. Looked like they didn't even get off the break yet. It was just all-around terrible game. Yeah. Fair to say, or you guys disagree?
No, it was just a terrible, terrible period. I mean, they played pretty well for the rest of the game. It was just the first period was garbage. So I think it's just one of those games. You just got to kind of move past. Dallas took advantage of the fact that Riley's been out and everybody else is just not ready. They were just not ready. So I think that's one of the games where you just kind of just throw the tape out or delete the recording, however they do it nowadays, and just move on.
So obviously with Morgan Riley inching closer and closer and closer here. I know one of the things that's been talked about is who might be the odd man out. You know, I just feel like asking this to Jake so we get him in a good mood here. Jake, who's the odd defenseman out? Is it going to be Polak, Hunwick, or Marinson?
I mean, it's got to be Martin Marinson. I mean, just looking at Babcock, didn't he say when he was asked about Marinson that he'd have to look at the tape, or was that Corrado?
That was Corrado.
I mean, then outside of that, hasn't his ice time's been decreasing, and he played like 14 minutes or something on one of the last games before the break. So
I played 17 last night.
That's not that good.
I know. I love how polite your answer is, by the way, because off the air you'd be like, he's awful.
He is awful. Next question. He's horrendous. He's a terrible player, and he shouldn't even be on this roster. But somehow they're keeping him on the team, and hopefully when Riley comes back fully healthy, he will be out of the lineup.
I have a quick question for you, Jake. Do you and Patrick O'Sullivan spend some time together when we're not watching? Because I think you two probably are the leaders of the Martin Marinson hate club.
Yeah, because he's actually a guy that doesn't look at stupid numbers and he watches the game.
Oh, I didn't know. That's
love
the way
Patrick
you looked
O'Sullivan.
At it,
you don't use sabermetrics?
No, I don't really believe in them.
Okay. Now that we've cleared that up.
So let's get into trade rumors about who they could possibly acquire then to permanently bench Marinson for you, Jake. There's been a couple guys. Obviously, the most prominent name is Kevin Shattenkirk. But when you look at the trade market right now, man, you got guys like Martin Hanzel that are apparently, what, a first-round pick for Martin Hanzel is apparently the asking price. So, yeah, you can see how right now, I mean, what more is there really to say? The market's not that great.
The market is... What is the market? There's honestly...
There isn't a market. There's two teams that are out of it. So they clearly have all the assets, and they're just asking for ridiculous prices. Hopefully some stupid team bites on it, but, I mean, that seems very very unlikely that they'll get that. Wishful thinking, though.
Right? That's the issue I'm having, too, is that I'm looking at this. Like, you want to talk about trade rumors and some things that this team could possibly improve on at the deadline, but right now it's where? How? You know, you're just asking more questions. I mean, we did make a list of names that we could go through to see your guys' thoughts on this, if they're obtainable or not, and what the price might be. You know, play a little armchair GM here. That's pretty much what this episode's going to be.
You can do that, yeah.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. Matt Duchene. I might as well just start with the biggest name. You know, Colorado, pretty much rebuilding. Joe Sakic, we've seen his history of making deals or getting ripped off. Duchene, asking price, possibility. What do you guys think?
It'll be very interesting for me. I don't know if they would be willing to give up what it would cost to get him, because I think it would be a lot. And it looks like Colorado's interested in a defenseman, something the Leafs just don't have. So, I mean, I would put it highly unlikely. It would be nice. I'd like Matt Duchene as a player, but I don't think it's very possible.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a huge fan of Matt Duchene. I just don't see the Leafs giving up the value that Colorado would want, or even what the Leafs would want to give up for Matt Duchene, considering what they've already got. If we're not in that type of situation to want to have to go out for a Matt Duchene and spend the amount that would need to get him. We need other areas like defense, and it would just be counterproductive to go up and use the assets to get a Duchene when you should be spending it somewhere else.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it would be a luxury buy for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's say they did. Asking price wise, what do you think about probably be like what a Kapanen or one of their elite level prospects plus one to two picks? They got 3 seconds this year.
I think it would be Gardner, a first, and something else.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. But it's probably
they were going to want a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're pretty much their franchise player.
They're going to want somebody that's going to be able to come in and play right away, like a Gardner, and they can have some control. They want like an equivalent of Matt Duchene on the blue line.
Yeah.
Maybe a little less and get some better assets back.
Well, the reason why I mentioned like prospects is because you look at what they traded Ryan O'Reilly for. Obviously, this was a couple of years ago, but prospects is what they got. I mean, Zadorov and Grigorenko was supposed to be the highlight.
But they didn't want to pay him.
They were in cost-cutting mode. Yeah. I don't know how they were in cost-cutting mode, considering they lost two centers that offseason, but they were. And they made a terrible deal. And, I mean, you'd like to think that he's dumb enough to make another bad trade, but I don't know. It just seems very unlikely that he's just going to be wary of getting ripped off, because I don't think he's won a deal.
Right?
In his tenure.
I don't think he has either. I'm trying to think of one, honestly. Even look at some of the deals he signed, like Boschman for, what, 4.25 each season? Even that doesn't look too great.
Jerome McGinley. He hasn't panned out the way they wanted him to. Like there isn't a move that Colorado has made that has, yeah, as you said, has made any sense. I don't see anything.
Nope.
Okay, so I guess after the big guns, you got Tyson Berry's another name, but that's highly unlikely. Landeskog doesn't really fit what the Leafs do. What about a guy like Carl Soderberg, maybe, if they were willing to eat some of his contract? Obviously, he's having a pretty bad year this year, but this is a player that we saw contribute quite a bit in Boston. You know, he's not – I don't think he's washed up. I just think he's just playing on a terrible team, and he's buried on that depth chart. Would that be somebody the Leafs might be able to acquire?
If they could eat half, I'd probably consider it. But I don't know. It's a pretty onerous deal, and he's got quite a bit of term on it, and he's 31, so he's not really getting younger. Again, you don't want to have a ton of veterans, but you want to have a few. I think he'd be an upgrade from Tyler Bozak for sure, but yeah, you'd have to eat a good deal of money for me, because I don't think I'd be up for giving him $4 million a year for the next three seasons or whatever his contract is.
Yeah, I mean, as Jake said, I think if the only reason why you get a guy like Soderberg is if he replaces a guy like Bozak, maybe a little bit better defensively, but I don't really. They're kind of the same player. Maybe, yeah, he could be a little bit cheaper if they take money back, but there's no guarantee they take money back. So, is he a guy that they want to move? Or I think they want to move one of their bigger pieces and try to really cash in on one of them, and rather than trade a Soderberg where you're not going to get as much back. So, I mean, yeah, I don't think it makes sense to go after Soderberg unless the price goes down, the cap goes down, and they take someone else back, like a Bozak or something. But even then, I don't even know if they would trade Bozak right now.
I don't know if they would either, but it's tough. Like we were saying earlier, you know, the market's so bad, so trying to figure out names that could possibly be acquired is pretty difficult in itself too. Shifting to the blue line though, Michael Stone, somebody who's been rumored in the past, although the asking price, if they want a first round pick for Hanzel, what do you think they're going to want for a guy like Michael Stone? It's probably going to be a lot, too.
Pass.
Pass? I say pass, too, especially because he's going to become a UFA.
I pass on I wouldn't pass on the player. I'd pass on what it would cost.
Obviously, me too. But like, come on.
Well, okay, so here's a better question then. What do you think he's going to get as a free agent?
I don't even know. Probably like four by four, yeah. If not more. I don't know his age. I'm not really sure of his age.
He's 26.
So he might get 6 years, six by four.
I don't think he gets 6 years. The big problem...
Do you see the talent available?
Oh, that's not the question of his talent. It's just he's had issues with health. People just don't know what exactly he is.
I think based on the market, he might get more money, don't you? Like, somebody might overpay him.
There's always one sucker. There's always one sucker.
And there's also teams that are going to also... We're seeing it in the MLB where teams may not go on overspend right away. They may really want to wait.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of delusional teams.
Well, the defense market is bad, but how bad are teams willing to be to overspend, especially with a lot of teams going younger, having these younger players' contracts go up, especially like the Leafs.
You don't think a team like Vegas would throw them 4x5?
Vegas is a little different.
Yeah, though. Vegas is definitely in the cards because
no pun intended.
But yeah, they have to get to the floor, and they also are going to have to overpay because that's going to be a pretty terrible on ice life for at least 3 years.
Mm-hmm. So should they take a gamble on him, Jake?
Who the
no
Leafs?
Pun intended. Oh, no, Vegas. Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't want to be going out just throwing out dumb money, but you might have to at this point because they literally have no contracts. So,
yeah. Okay, so I guess we could scratch them off the list for at least potentially going after like a trade with Michael Stone. If Detroit decides to rebuild, I know a lot of people are saying that guys like Thomas Tatar, Gustav Nyquist are on the block. What about a guy like Mike Green? I know he's getting older. Obviously, his guy's battled injuries throughout his entire career. Contract is turning, you know, it's short, but the pay isn't cheap, $6 million a season. Do you go after him if you're the Leafs, maybe?
Again, I don't know. I don't really know where he would fit. I mean, I guess as like a second-line defenseman, but he's a righty. I mean, I guess it could be, but $6 million for what, one more year, right, or two?
Well, just this year. Yeah. Or two,
just
sorry.
Just this
yeah.
season?
No,
is
next
it two?
Season two. Yeah, because then he'd be the top three.
There's two seasons, no way. If it was just like a UFA thing, maybe, but
they would. I don't know if Detroit wanted to get a good return for him, a team might ask for them to retain some salary. But Mike Green is an interesting option, I think, as a number two guy. I don't think he was brought into Detroit to be a number two guy, and that's why he really hasn't worked out. So, Detroit. I don't know what they're gonna do though. Are they gonna go after a rebuild?
A guy on that team I would be interested in is Gustav Nyquist, though. I think he's a lot to give. And he would be a really nice add as a winger with Austin Matthews. Maybe move Connor Brown off that line or Zach Hyman. But I don't know how likely that is, considering he's pretty much the star pupil of Mike Babcock.
He's an animal. That's what he is, Jake. You hear him? Okay, the thing with Mike Green that I see a lot of people mention too is that, you know, he's getting older, he's defensively irresponsible, you know, he's still playing 23, 24 minutes a night right now, which is probably a byproduct of how bad Detroit's D is. But could you not bury a guy like that on the third pairing? You got Riley Zaitsev, assuming they re-sign him, Gardner Carrick. You could put Mike Green in the third pairing and then get somebody defensively responsible in the offseason to kind of play with him next year. Is that not something you could do too, to kind of like overshadow his deficiencies or at least mask them somewhat?
But if you're going to have a guy with a $6 million cap hit, you're not trying to hide him.
Well, I'm saying at least in 5-on-5 play. Obviously, he's going to get most of his value on the power play, right? That's where Mike Green's made a career, is on the power play.
I suppose so. I mean, it's not really my cup of tea, personally. I don't – it's no. No, not, that's a no for me.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way, but I've just seen people suggest that I'm thinking of ways that maybe it could work. Somebody else I'd rather go after if I was to make a trade – and the Leafs would be a guy like Brayden McNabb in L.A. L.A.'s obviously got to figure out some things with who they're going to protect on D. So maybe him?
I think what L.A. has been able to do this season without Jonathan Quick is incredible because this team has been using Peter Budaj as their number one goalie. And, like, how many teams could say, yes, we are going to lose Jonathan Quick, replace him with Peter Budaj, and still be a competitive team? Not many teams will say that. and I think that's a byproduct of how the defense has been this. Their defense is. I mean, you guys.
Yeah.
So if any defensive from LA would interest me, even if it's a guy that may not be great, but.
Well, he's young too, right? So he's young.
He's like 26
cheap.
Or something.
I think he's younger than that. I think he's 24.
Is he the ex-Saber? Is that him?
Let's see here. Brayden McNabb.
Yeah, yes, yeah, ex-Saber. Yeah,
he started with Buffalo, and well, damn, he's got pretty good possession numbers too.
26. Yeah, yeah. No, he's a really good player.
He doesn't play a lot of minutes, but if you're looking for a guy to play in your lower in your lineup, it would be him. I mean, but again, is LA going to want to move him? The only reason why LA would move him is because of what's going to be going on this summer with the expansion draft.
Yeah.
And they need to get some help up front, which the Leafs can help them with.
Like, okay, but so, I don't know. How much would you be willing to give up for Brayden McNabb?
I don't know, but that's somebody who might be able to develop into something, right? Like, any cost to acquire a top defenseman is going to be off the charts. Or the cost to acquire any defenseman like that, sorry.
I'm really happy with the Leafs prospect cover, and I never see in-season trades ever working for the buying team, unless you win a Stanley Cup. But I mean,
even then, you know, like that's well worth it, obviously. But how many teams does that actually happen, where they go get that one last player that's the missing piece per se, and then they win the cup? Not too many.
I'm trying to think of the ones where it's worked. It's worked with Gabrick in L.A., Jeff Carter in L.A. What's the guy on the Coyotes? Vermette in Chicago.
Yep.
Ray Bourque in Colorado. It's a couple though. Was it Marian Hossa or no? I think they lost. Yeah, they lost in the finals. Sorry. Yeah, the Penguins.
Penguins got him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, it's funny you mentioned that Penguins team, because this, like, if you go back when the 05-06 Penguins, the first cup they won, this Leafs team kind of has some similarities to it.
Yeah, they do.
So. And you look at them, I mean, they spent pretty early on, where they took advantage of the entry-level contracts and added guys like Bill Guerin and whatnot, and decided to kind of go all in and bank on Sid and Evgeny taking them all the way. And it worked. If you're the Leafs, is that not something you could do too going forward?
A guy that my dad actually said was Jerome Iginla on Colorado. Would you consider adding him? Because isn't his deal done at the end of this year?
Yeah, it is done. Yeah.
He's 40. He's a guy that's been there and done that. And, you know, even if they don't make the playoffs, just having that veteran leadership and the experience, this is a Hall of Fame player.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it would be pretty decent if you can get him for make like a fourth round pick. I think it would really help out. I thought it was a good idea.
We have so many picks. I mean, that we can, so many second round picks.
They have 3 seconds. They don't have a third, but they have a first. They have just an abundance of late picks, though. They have a fourth, I'm pretty sure, this year from San Jose, too.
No, they have a third. Well, because what happened was for the Reimer deal, they got a third in 2018. So but they don't have a third round pick in 2018. So
yeah, I mean, they're going to have to give up a third for Babcock and Lou, right? Because that dumb rule.
Yeah.
Well, if you did, like, look, if you're the Leafs, you trade, like, McCulloch and a pick for Iginla, that could work.
McCulloch.
Well, you got to trade salary, right? Because they have about a million. Yeah, it's got to match up.
Yeah, it does. And I think that would make sense. And what would you do with Jerome, though? Where would you put him?
I think you're playing with the kid.
Which one? Which one?
Which one? The center. It's obviously, he's a winger, so he's going to play with a center. I'm talking about Matthews.
I just wanted you to clarify that.
Well, how much do you value adding a veteran then, if you're the Leafs? Is it really something that they should strongly consider doing at this deadline, or no?
I think it's
again they have maybe 1 week or maybe 2 weeks, which is like 5 or 6 games to get a better idea of where they are. I mean, right now they looked really bad yesterday, and they've lost a couple games. I'm pretty sure they're outside of the playoffs right now, and they're 4 points from being dead last in the in the conference. Yeah. So, I mean, you gotta, there's just gotta be some separation in the next 10 games that will really split apart whether this team is for real or you're just gonna let it ride.
It's not spot on, because then it makes things like, you know, do you go after a Shattenkirk? It makes it really difficult to say yes or no.
Well, it definitely does. I mean, Shattenkirk is not coming cheap, and he's a UFA. There's no guarantees with what he's going to have.
I would rather take my chances of trying to sign him.
Me too. Especially because he said that he's willing to sign here.
And, like, what better situation is there than here?
Well, you heard what he said about Babcock. He talks about how the players are starting to buy in, the little details. Like, he's complimenting Babcock's coaching style.
Shattenkirk said that?
Yep.
He said I didn't hear that. I mean, it makes sense. They're probably doing media, so. Yeah, but I mean, I think he's just that perfect fit for them, because they obviously are going to have a lot of cap space. Cool. I would pay him a lot, and as Chris said, have it, like, tail off down the road. I would have no problem with giving him a six-year deal for, like, $6.5 million a year, or maybe more, maybe seven. So like 42 over seven.
Wow. Well, I think that really boils down to one question then. Do you feel like the Leafs' chance to win a Stanley Cup, or at least compete for one, is now, or is it down the road? Like,
I think it's now too. Yeah, I think it's next season. They're ready to go. No matter what happens this year, I think they've proved it, and just getting that experience, you're going to probably add a couple good free agents, maybe add a couple prospects into the mix too. So, I mean, Kasperi Kapanen's making the team next year. So there's a top prospect that's making your team already. And they're definitely going to spend some money in free agency. They're probably going to add two or three guys in free agency. I mean,
that would mean make a trade.
Yeah, I can think they're going to make a trade too. At this draft, this is a terrible draft. Unless you're picking in the top 10, I would trade it for anything of value, because this is a bad draft. I'm confident they have 3 second-round picks. I'm confident that they'll get at least one player there that they could get in the 20s or whatever it is where they're picking this year, and they can find him, and he's going to be an impact player. That's the great thing about this front office, is that you have that faith with these guys finding these diamonds in the rough, those Broncos, the Zirkles, the Andrew Nielsens, the Adam Brooks, those type of players. Like, he found these guys in the second round or later.
Well, on top of that too, I mean, you got the expansion draft coming. Teams are going to be panicking to keep guys to kind of protect them. Something Doug McLean alluded to weeks ago on Sportsnet was that, you know, a lot of backdoor deals are going to take place. You got to imagine, if teams can't make things work in terms of, you know, matching numbers up or assets, the Leafs are going to be that third team in a lot of deals that people are going to call on for kickers, like picks, expiring contracts. Like, they have all the assets needed for teams to get deals done. So I think that's something too that's really going to help in this offseason, to open up the space for players like you're saying, Jake.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I would go right ahead and already try and sign guys to extensions too, just to get ahead of you know, where they're going to be in 3 years from now. Because, you know, the point of this isn't to compete. I don't believe it's just a three-year-long window like Craig Custin says. I mean, I think that's a little over the top. I think this team wants to compete for the next 10 or 15 years, as long as they have Austin Matthews. But I think your best shot at it is going to be in his third year, his last year of entry level, when all these kids their entry-level deals are up. And you're going to have to make some tough decisions. Maybe you lose a Connor Brown or Zach Hyman or something like that. I mean,
it'll be the Chicago effect, where Chicago had to lose like Bufflin, you know,
or Nazem Kadri. Like,
if you look at that team that won in 2010, I think every single player on that team is still in the league. That's incredible.
The Leafs are gonna have that same issue. So with that though, like, we, by the sounds of it, all three of us agree that the window is obviously now. It's a little bit longer than 3 years too. What about possibly like overpaying a guy like Shattenkirk if he's willing to not take a long-term deal, like giving him like a 2 year, I don't know, like $16 million, whereas his cap hits $8 million the next two seasons, but the Leafs can afford that with all their cap space. Do they be really ultra aggressive like that?
I think more.
I would try, but I just, that makes, no. It would make no sense for him. I mean, you got to look at it from his perspective. Why would he take slightly more money when he's going to get less over the course of his deal?
Yeah, he's going to want a long term. The big thing now,
he's getting 7 years. He's getting seven.
The big thing he wants is security. is secure.
Exactly. Where you know you're going to live, where you're going to see his, I don't know if he has a wife or kids, where they're going to be for the next 7 years.
Well, not just that. It's also how many players have been getting cut and having a hard time finding deals later into their 30s.
If you that's
going to be the big thing for him. I think he may take a little less but get that security, like instead of doing those the short-term deal. And I think the Leafs are better suited to do a deal like that where they can overpay a little bit for a guy like him, because you can get guys who maybe like a Dermott and a Nielsen that can step in eventually and be cheaper options on the blue line.
Yeah, I mean, Custance compared him to Brian Campbell, and I think it's pretty spot on. I mean, they gave him a huge deal, but that worked out really well. That won them their first cup and won them, I think, one more after that.
So to build on what Custance was saying too, I mean, he obviously said Marian Hossa was the guy the Hawks signed that put them over the top. We could all agree with that. But there isn't really a Marian Hossa out there on the market. So if you're the Leafs, what kind of approach do you take?
There
you
is take next there year. Is?
I know the following year, yeah, but this year.
Well, unless you Joe Thornton, that guy.
I would try and trade for a guy if there is one. I mean, obviously, there's going to be so many guys on the block right now, but that's just such a unique situation because he was a big name player.
Well, I like Dave's idea of Joe Thornton. I know I don't think he's going to leave California, but
he's not leaving California. You know? But he's that guy that you would want.
Yeah,
you know, like if you move a Bozak. You would replace Bozak with Thornton.
And but what about the ageless one, like a Jaromir Jagr? I know we said a Ginla for this year, but...
No. He would make no sense. Like, who would he play with? He can't skate.
But his possession numbers are off the charts, right? Like, you could just make him an 80-foot player. I know I'm reaching a lot here, but the market is that bad.
It really is bad. I think the best way to acquire talent is to trade for it or draft it.
Yeah.
I think that's they got lucky. They got a unique situation. You know, maybe a guy like I'm trying to think like a veteran winger, like a TJ Oshie. Maybe he's a free agent this offseason. Maybe you can sign him.
Is he this offseason or next offseason?
I'm pretty sure it's this offseason.
I thought he was next too.
Oh, I mean, you could check. I'm pretty sure. I thought it was this offseason, but you know, say Washington wins this year and he's a free agent, That would be like a Justin Williams type of guy that I would go after for sure.
He is like this year, you're right, Jake.
On like a four or five year deal, maybe and a half a year.
He's 30, turning 31, so I don't know how long you give him.
Yeah, 5 years. That's fine.
5 years, okay.
That's the big question. We just discussed this. Is teams are going to look at guys who are 31, 32? How many years are you going to give them? Like, what did Franz Nielsen get from Detroit?
Seven.
He got seven.
Six or seven. He got a long. Wow. Six. There you go.
So, like, you have to take that sort of risk. I mean, Franz Nielsen is a good player. He's also a player that's getting older and not a good older. Like, he's up in the 30s, right? So
still a very good player.
Well, how much do you guys think the cap's going to explode when the new TV deal kicks in?
A lot.
It obviously won't be like the NBA, but it's going to be
It'll be $10 million. And in 5 years from now, it will be up maybe $15 to $20 million.
Wow. So that's a lot. So, I mean... contracts like this now probably aren't going to look as bad then. Like, remember when the Raptors signed Damari Carroll? I know this is something we talked about off the air, but his contract looked bad at the beginning. But then when you considered how the TV deal and the cap was just absolutely exponentially growing, it didn't look that bad because now that's market value. So if you're the Leafs, maybe I don't want to say overpaying, but if you sign a guy like Oshie, like Jake's saying, for what, 5x5, is that really going to look that bad in 5 years?
No, because what's the cap at now, 74 or 72?
74.
I think it's 74, yeah.
I'm pretty sure the U.S. TV deal expires in 2018, and they're probably going to get three times what they get now. You're gonna be in the 85 range by 2018, 2019. You're going to be in the 85 range for sure.
That's a lot. Like, my biggest fear is that if you're the Leafs, you don't want to be like the Rangers where you're stuck with guys like Rick Nash making almost $8 million a year, and he's only playing 15, 16 minutes a night for you, not even contributing like he used to, right? You don't want to like overpay a guy like that and not get the production back. That's obviously every team's biggest fear, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, but the Rangers, they just, I mean, yeah, I guess they have some pretty good young talent now, but they have a lot of money tied up into guys that are pretty bad. They have some pretty bad contracts on their hands. Dan Girardi, Henrik Lundqvist. I mean, that's like I think, almost $12 million. The Leafs right now, honestly, I don't think they have any bad contracts, which is rare.
I mean, the only ones they have, Joffrey Leupold, which you got to wait for that one to end.
Well, come on. So again, I don't know how we're able to do what we do and just make guys go away, but I don't know how every team hasn't done this.
Well, some teams are getting clever now. Mark Savard is still getting paid. Chris Pronger, RJ Umberger, like there's guys that are getting paid.
They're doing that by trading actual assets. The Leafs haven't traded one asset. They've literally added assets to get onerous contracts like FNUF off the thing, and they picked up Mahalan McCollick and Colin Greening. Play for the Marlies now.
Yeah. Well, and barely playing for the Marlies, too.
Exactly.
And Brooks.
And you got. They have three guys. Well, obviously, the Horton deal was extremely lucky. They got very, very lucky there. That's probably a once in a lifetime type of thing. Yeah. And they lucked out. But, I mean, again, do you see a TJ Oshie even close to David Clarkson? No, David Clarkson just couldn't skate.
Well, here's a better question. What's TJ Oshie's floor if he was to sign here? Because David Clarkson's floor was obviously what we saw, a complete bust. I don't think TJ Oshie carries that same risk.
I think his floor is 15 goals. I was going to say 40 points. I was going to say 15 goals, 25 assists.
So how much is that worth?
That's his floor. We're saying the height is what he had last year. I think he had 55 or 60 points.
Okay. So that's what you're hoping. If you're saying like the bare minimum is 40 points, what are you willing to pay him for what you're expecting could be the bare minimum for him?
The bare minimum, I'd probably be willing to pay him $3 million. For 40 point players are going to be, right in this current market, are worth probably $3 to $3.5 million.
So let's add a little bit of inflation then because of the TV deal, and we'll say that goes up to like, what, 4 and change?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's going to take 5 to get him, but I would do 5. Right now I would do it because he's going to slot into a top 6 role easily.
But don't you think a team like Vegas will want him?
Does he want to go to Vegas? Yeah.
Well, yeah. Toronto's really appealing, and I think guys like Babcock did a good job.
There are guys who are just all about taking the money, and I don't have any problem with that. You know, you have a finite amount of time to make your money. Go ahead and do it. But I don't see TJ Oshie as a guy who's played in St. Louis and Washington and has been to conference finals and is in the playoffs every year is just going to want to be on a god-awful team. I mean, it takes a toll on you. I'd hate it personally, but...
Leafs can also front-load contracts too, right? You can only decelerate them by 15% roughly a year, but that's something they're definitely going to do because they have all this cap space. And I think Babcock's really smart for doing what he's doing before, like, you know, after morning skates when he's going, maybe some Ontario guys will see what we're doing and they want to come home and play for the Leafs. Like, all that subtle marketing stuff I think might pay off for them in the offseason too when it comes to players considering, hey.
Also, a nice little added bonus for TJ Oshie is he's really good in shootouts, which is worth 2 points.
The Leafs will pay him an extra $1.5 million just to be in the shootout.
Dave, you familiar with what's it called? Wins above replacement in baseball?
Yep. Well, a stat that everyone says that nobody can really give a finite definition of, but yes, I do. I am with a familiar.
say just because he's on your shootout, the Leafs are like 1-9 in shootouts. They're horrendous.
They're 1-5, I believe. Something like that.
They are 1-6 in shootouts. Say they're 3-4.
They're in the playoffs. They're actually ahead of Ottawa.
That's 2 points. I'll pay that to get 2 points out of just a player.
Yeah,
it's like such a unique thing, and I hate the shootout, but that's 2 points is worth a lot. That's a free win. Mm-hmm. That's turning a loss into a win. I mean, it's worth something, and you're not even taking into account that he's probably going to get 50 points a year playing with a really good player because he's definitely probably going to play with Matthews if he comes here.
He puts up 50 points playing next to Ovi and Backstrom.
He's got 32 and 41 games, so he's on pace for 62. It would be a career high. He put up 51 last year, the year before 55, the year before that 60. So he's like a 50 to 55 point guy a year, which is worth $5 million to me.
Sounds like a good fit next to Matthews then. So there's one guy that we agreed on.
Yeah.
I guess like that's pretty much everything we've decided we were going to talk about, especially when it comes to, you know, should they go all in? We agree that they should be aggressive, but maybe not all in.
No. This isn't like a last gasp like Washington, where this is legitimately probably their last big shot at getting over the hump. But you definitely want to start accumulating pieces and turning them into actual players.
Well, obviously, but it's going to be tough because, as we said, the market is there is no market other than two teams. I don't know if that will change with more teams playing games.
Okay, let's look at the standings right now. Which teams are going to drop out? So I think Detroit is for sure out. They're definitely dropping out of this. I could see, you know,
Calgary.
I don't know. They're still in the playoffs, which is ridiculous.
I know. They're just, man, I don't know how they do it.
I was going to say, wow, the West is really close.
Yeah, that's
what about a team like Florida?
They're tied with the Leafs, basically.
I know, but like we're trying to predict who's going to drop out, right?
I think Tampa could be a team that drops out.
Buffalo. Really? I think Florida before Tampa, but
Tampa's just gutted with injuries. I mean,
yeah.
They are missing so many guys, and this is kind of their trend where they get top three pick, and then they go to the finals. I mean,
okay, what about New Jersey for sure?
Jersey's definitely dropping out. I think Carolina's sticking around. I don't know about Buffalo. I want to say Buffalo sticks around, but
they're playing much better recently, much better.
But they lost the past two in a row. I just noticed that.
I mean, they're scoring goals finally. They struggled to score goals all year. They scored three or more in like their last six games.
Then they got smoked by the Habs last night.
Yeah. What about a team like Vancouver? We all agree they should blow it up, but
yeah, I don't know. They're a pretty stubborn bunch. I just don't see it happening.
And what do they?
And
have
what do they? What do they have to sell?
Yeah. Other than Ryan Miller, there's not much else that they're going to want to
play. Yeah,
that's about it.
I don't know. You can't even say like a guy like Edler.
No.
This guy's always hurt recently.
Yeah.
What about Winnipeg, maybe? But Winnipeg needs to win for that market, right? Like they got to put something together.
I think they're well aware that they're in like a rebuilding stage.
They had the number two pick. Like how much
the number two pick, I know.
How much were they expecting to improve? It's not like the Leafs where they added... The Leafs added Marner, Nylander, Matthews, and a bunch of other guys, and Zaitsev, and a bunch of guys, and Anderson. All that Winnipeg added was Laine.
Which is a big piece, but...
It's a big piece, but it's not enough to get where they were last year and move them up. Like, it was not... It's not enough, considering also their goaltending is horrendous, too. It's
horrendous, yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
pretty bad.
So, I think Winnipeg would... has to also look at their expansion draft and what they're going to have to watch out for and what they're going to have to give up, what they're going to have to maybe move around. I don't know. Winnipeg is a team that I don't see them getting better. What about a team like Dallas? Is Dallas going
to... I don't know, man. They're kind of a team that's interesting because they're on the fence, right? They're literally 500 hockey team. Their home road splits are like extreme. So, you know, they're going to be good at home, but they got to win some road games. They want to make the playoffs. I don't even know what the hell they're going to make of them. They have no depth. Like, what are you going to acquire from there? They're so top heavy. What are you really going to go get?
Who is this?
Dallas.
Oh, yeah, no. There's not really anything there. I don't know how they're so bad. I guess their goaltending and defensive zone coverage is trash.
Their penalty kill is horrific.
I mean, if it wasn't for a kick in, which wasn't a kick, by the way, on Nikita Soshnikov's 6-4 game, I think there would be some people sweating.
Yeah, definitely. How about the Islanders? I mean, they're playing so much better.
I can't see them blowing up. I mean, they got to prove. They got to prove to a certain number 91 that there's a reason why you should not just jump ship. And I think further trading away, and they all their guys are pretty much younger. There's not really old pieces that they have that they would trade away. The only guy that they wish they could put a hit out and make him go away is Andrew Ladd. Oh, my God. I cannot believe he has 6 years left after this. That might be the worst contract ever.
Him. Jeez. Ever. Clutterbuck. Ever. That's pretty. Like they've got some pretty bad contracts.
Oh, by the way, TJ Oshie, 2 points tonight. So he's up to 34 points in 42 games. There you go, Dave.
Very nice. Well, I don't mind TJ Oshie. I'm just wondering what the value, what the market's going to be like for a guy like him, and whether the Leafs are
it's going to be a pretty big market. He's going to be a highly touted player.
Yeah,
but again, I think it's something to be worth it for sure.
Yeah, I think now, like talking about with you guys, it makes a little more sense to go after a guy like Oshie, especially when you consider what else is out there.
And for the record, Andrew Ladd, in 44 games, has 15 points.
Boom, let's go. I think he got two goals last game.
Did he?
Oh, he did
against the Canadians.
Yeah, he's turning up.
He's just tearing it up.
Heating up. 10 goals. I think Matthews had that in a month.
He almost had half of that in one game, and it was his very first game. So that's all we got to say.
I keep forgetting about that. That's so absurd.
Oh, how could you forget about that beautiful game? How do you forget about that? You can't.
Oh, I know, but it's just like you watch him do something ridiculous every night, and it goes in the back of your mind.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Yeah. All right, guys. I think on that note, we'll wrap this up because we're going to be reaching for players pretty soon.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank everybody for listening to this week's episode of the Tip of Tower Toronto Maple Leafs podcast. As always, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Tip of the Tower. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or SoundCloud, also at Tip of the Tower. You can follow me on Twitter at Chris O'Kranitz. You can follow Dave on Twitter at D_Morisuti. You can follow Jake on Twitter at JakeMiddleton12. Guys, hopefully the Leafs turn around, get back on track tomorrow night in St. Louis. We'll be back next week to talk about more Leafs, guys. Until then, take care.
Toronto is proud and happy to select from Modal, Sweden, William Nylander.
The Knights, Mitch Marner.